Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. People that translate works of literature have a very difficult job. They have a lot of things that they have to balance. They have to balance the original words that are in the text to see if there's a way to translate things their word for word matches. They need to kind of translate the style of the text. They need to bring forth what that author, what their style was, and what their genre was. They can't just purely say, like, this word has an equal sign to this word and make it work. And then they have to take into account the meaning of the text, because there might be something else meant there that would get lost if they just did a pure syntactical word-for-word translation back and forth. And that's hard to get all those things right. But then there's another layer for translators. And that next layer is that they have to take into account the style of writing in their own language. They have to take into account the things that certain words connote in the language that they're in right now. And then they also have to take into account the culture that they're in to know how to translate a word. And so they do all of this and they make lots of decisions. And I tell you all that this morning because there's a decision that's made in the very first clause of our gospel reading this morning that really sets the table for this translator about what this passage is about. And the translator has translated the first clause, if another member of the church sins against you. Now, the reason I bring out all this about this, the translator had to make a decision here, is the word for church is nowhere in this clause. This translator has made a decision to insert a word that actually means an awful lot to you and me. When you hear the word church, you think of certain things. One of the things you think of is this thing right here. Some of you think of the church as a kind of a legal institution, and yet this translator has decided that this passage has something to do with church when the word church is not there. Now, this translator has made that decision for reasons that are good and valid and reasonable reasons. I'm just going to tell you this morning, I disagree with them because I think what Jesus is trying to tell us is much more basic than this is some teaching about the church. Because I think this is a teaching about togetherness and not about procedure. So if you want to know all the reasons that this translator got to church and I don't get there, you can buy me a cup of coffee sometime. And I will tell you, but I will not regale you with it this morning. And if you do buy me that cup of coffee, you have to promise me two things. One is you won't hate me after that conversation for being bored to death. And two, you cannot look at Facebook about 10 minutes into it. So. But I'm going to tell you, I think that, and this translator does have great reasons, I don't think this is about procedure. This translator thinks that this is about procedure. That this is Jesus from on high telling us something that is sanctified secret sauce of how the church reconciles people. I don't think Jesus is doing that at all. And the reason I don't think Jesus is doing it at all is because the advice that Jesus gives us, you don't need thunder and lightning from heaven to know. Jesus says, literally, if your brother sins against you, and the word here, brother, certainly it includes anybody with which you have some sort of familial relationship, whether it be genetic or whether it be organizational. Whenever somebody that you have a relationship with in a certain context sins against you, you know what you do first? You go and talk to them alone. That, folks, we do not need divine inspiration to know that that's the best thing to do when you've got a problem with another human being. Though, as often as we do that, maybe we do, because we often think that Jesus said here, if your brother or sister sins against you, go post it on Facebook. Or if your brother or sister sins against you, go tell your friend so that they can go and confront them about it. Or if your brother and sister sins against you, go tell the pastor and tell him that he or she has got to fix it. But Jesus doesn't do any of that. Jesus says, if you've got a relational problem with a person, you know what you do first? Alone, you go and talk to them. And you know why Jesus does that? Because that does really, in many, many cases, resolve the issue right off the bat. Most of the relational issues we have in life is because we are harboring things against another person that they don't even know that we're harboring. Or we have not given them the opportunity to say, that's not what I meant. Or we've not given them the opportunity to say, yes, I'm really sorry. Because we have employed all kinds of other tactics that really inflame the situation instead of resolve it. Jesus just says, if you got a beef with another human being, you and that person go and sit down and talk to one another and see what comes of it. Folks, it's great advice, but I don't think it's divine revelation, and it's certainly not a procedure to be added to some ecclesiastical body. Now, if it doesn't get resolved there, Jesus says, well, the next thing to do is maybe you need some outside viewers in this. So why don't you go get two or three people you really trust? Not two or three people that are your friends, but two or three people that you trust to be objective. And you go, and after that conversation where you and this other person who are at an impasse talk to one another, let's see what happens. See what result they come up with. That should take care of another large percentage of these conflicts. And then finally, if that doesn't work, and here is why the translator put church up front, the word for church does finally appear in the text, because he says, if you talk to the person alone and you can't figure it out, if you bring two or three people you trust and you still can't figure it out, then you can go to the church and present the case before everyone and see what happens now. Now, the word here for church also, I would not translate church at this point. Because Jesus, and this is to give away my bias, I think Jesus has no idea that people would build buildings 2,000 years afterwards and call them church. It's not the church that we're thinking about. What he says here is if your one-on-one doesn't work, and then your small group doesn't work, you can take it to a public gathering. Because literally, the word that we start to translate and think of as church is a word that just means public gathering. In the ancient world, if you had a protest, it would have been called church, because you would have been out in public. If you'd have had a fundraising event, that would have been called church, because it's a public gathering. If there had been an announcement from the city council that everybody needed to come out and get because they didn't have email to find out what was going on at City Hall, that would have been called church. It would all use that same word. And that's because the word, and you've probably heard sermons on this before, the word for church just means called out. And you might have heard a sermon about all the things you're called out of to do. But very simply and very literally, all the word means is you got called out of your house to go somewhere and gather and meet. And so in Jesus' advice for them, he's like, if you can't get along one-on-one, get a few more folks. If you can't get along with a few more folks, and this is an issue that will threaten the community, then you get the whole community together. He says, if that doesn't work, and I think he says this somewhat ironically and sarcastically and very politically incorrect, he says, if that person still will not listen, they will not come to a point of reconciliation, you'll treat them as a Gentile and a tax collector. Which basically means, if they won't do this, pay no more attention to them. They can't be part of your community. Now, this, of course, will be tempered by the teaching that Jesus gives next week, because Peter gloms on to this and is about to ask Jesus, right where our lectionary reading cuts off today, how many times does he have to do this? But Jesus does say that you can come to a point where you do not need to use any more energy on this person. You can move on. And they are just not part of the group of folks that you call brother or sister anymore. You can get to that point. Whatever brother or sister means, and whatever this public gathering is, whatever you are gathering around together, if you get to the point where it is a total impasse and this person has done and acted in a way that is detrimental to the community abroad, you can say, I'm not wasting my time with you any longer. But he will tell Peter next week, when Peter asks him, how many times can I waste my time with people not very much longer, he's going to tell him quite a few. And the whole reason he does this is to set up this next bit, which is the community and the real divine revelation and strength. Maybe it's not even divine revelation here as well, is that we get more done together when we are in agreement and working together than we do when we're alone. He starts this because there's a trajectory in this passage, and the passage is from two individuals who are isolated from one another to the very end of this passage, where we get two individuals together gathering in the name of Jesus. And what Jesus wants us to do, and this is just a microcosm of what we do in this place, this is the way we form a church, this is the way we form a public gathering, is that we start by reconciling ourselves to one another first. Because the goal is not to be on our spiritual journeys by ourselves. And though there is sometimes value to that, but the secret of the kingdom is to provide some mechanism to break down these walls of isolation and allow us to come together to accomplish things that we could not accomplish alone. Jesus does not give a procedure for disciplining people in the church here because it's not what he's interested in. He's not interested in saying, well, don't waste your time with that person anymore. Jesus is interested in one person becoming two people meeting together and asking for things for the good of the community in his name. And so that's what we're about. Now, there are lots of ways that this scales. It scales in little groups inside our own little public gathering here. All of us that got called out of our houses this morning to be here. This is the ways that scales to our community. I've had so many meetings. It's very exciting in the last 6 weeks. If you were at the worship service last Sunday, which I got great reports about, the idea of seeing people from eight congregations together means that the work of reconciliation is first going on, but then also the kingdom work that could not be done by one of them will get done in the future because they're working together. But parallel to that, we have discovered that there are other folks in this community that are having the same realization, that the work that we have tried to do for the kingdom of God in the Dane County and the city of Madison is often hampered because we try to do it on our own. And part of the work of getting together and working together to do more, and to do more kingdom good, starts by not being isolated anymore from one another because we believe our brother or sister has sinned against us. It starts there. And that's not a goal in itself to figure that out. The goal is to make it so we come together and we ask for things in Jesus' name. Because when lots of people ask, things get done. When lots of people gather, things get prayed for. Jesus is looking for a way to bring us together, not looking for a way to teach us how to kick people out. And the more that we work together, the more value we will see in this place and in our community and even in our nation. Because the things that we need to change for the kingdom in this country will not change because an individual congregation or denomination or even an individual religion or way of thinking of things will accomplish it. It will be accomplished when we find a way to reconcile and be together, and then ask for things with the power of many instead of the loneliness of one. Amen.